Good morning. Today is Thursday, February the 6th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Sheriff and Mud Stomper, Billy Hansel.
Yes, good morning, Brian.
If life weren't so unpredictable,
right,
it'd be predictable.
That's right. You never know what every day would bring, that's for sure.
No, it's not our why do we say that, but okay. It buys me a little bit of time.
It sure does.
All righty. Miscreant. Where did we get the word miscreant from?
Lay it on me.
The term is from the French and literally means an unbeliever. It was first applied to the Christian, by the Christians, pardon me, to Mohammedans, who in turn called the Christians infidels, since neither side believed the other followed the true religion.
Oh, got it. Good to know. Miscreant. See, educational today. Very nice.
You now have French well under control.
For sure.
So what got you going this morning?
Well, a little excitement this morning. We had about 7:20 this morning, we got a report of a small plane crash into the bay just east of the Samoa Bridge. The call made it into the Eureka Police Department and was transferred to us, or at least that message was transferred to us. So we notified the Coast Guard, the Eureka Police Department, Humboldt Bay Fire, and our Special Services Unit, Search and Rescue, and we all deployed out there. Good news is that we located the plane upside down in the bay. Looks like it was in the process of landing at Murray Field when something went wrong.
But just east of the bridge? It must have been way east of the bridge, otherwise it would have been a nosedive.
Yes, I don't know because I didn't actually make it out there. So when I determined it was solo occupant, small plane, and the pilot was subsequently rescued by Coast Guard, I decided to come here instead and talk to you, Brian.
Well, and from the palatial suite of your office, I would have thought you'd be able to see.
Excuse me.
That's the other department that's up on the top.
That's right. So, yeah, that's not me. So yeah. I don't have the views. I got the basement and I got the ground floor.
Lots of shoes walking by.
Yeah, for sure. I see 4th and 5th Street, which is, you know.
Enough.
Not the best view in the world. So.
Well, yeah, but you get to see what's going on at ground level.
True. For rapid deployment, for sure.
Yeah. So the call came in and the sheriff's dispatch then notified everybody?
Yes.
That's the normal process?
That's the normal process. So we are the first responders for small plane crashes or plane crashes in the county. And so we get there. Life safety, rescue is our number one concern. Let's get there. Let's determine if there's any occupants that need to be rescued, need medical attention. So that occurred. Very, very thankful of our Coast Guard and their rapid deployment because they got there. The pilot it looks like he extricated himself. He was on the a mud bank and waiting for to be rescued while his plane was upside down. So I don't know about the significance of his injuries, but he's being flown to St. Joseph Hospital right now to determine his...
Just to be safe, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's surprising that we don't have more rescues on the bay.
You know...
We don't have as many fishing boats as we used to, okay?
Right.
There's not as much clamming going on anymore because of some of the regulations as we used to, but...
Right.
You know, it wasn't that uncommon to hear about the Coasties having to go out and help somebody in the bay in the past.
Right, and it still does occur. You know, we just don't advertise it as much anymore, but it does occur. There's people that go out there, and they're hunting or fishing or exploring the bay, canoeing, and they get stuck because they don't read the tides right, and they get stuck in the mud flats, and next thing you know, I mean, they can't wait 12 hours till the tide rises again to extricate
lift the canoe.
Yes, so we get called out to little things like that, and Coast Guard does as well. And so, like I said, we're thankful that the Coast Guard is here. They're a huge asset, and they work with our search and rescue very, very well. So,
is that the old Marine Posse?
The old
is
Marine Posse
search and rescue
is still there. So, but we have our own boating unit. So right now we're supposed to have two deputies. We'd like to have two deputies in our boating unit. We just have one right now, but it's a part of our special services department, which consists of boating, off-highway vehicles, livestock.
Are the guys that have the quads?
Yes.
You're roaring around?
Yes.
Okay.
And search and rescue. So
I think you'd have people lining up wanting that assignment.
Oh, we do. Believe me, we have people that want that assignment, but our staffing is not such we can put someone there. So it's better that we have someone on the street, responding to calls than these specialty assignments. So there's several specialty assignments throughout the agency that we put a hold on, put a freeze on until our staffing levels get up. up, and then we'll slowly start, you know, filling these positions again.
Who's responsible for the sloughs? I know there are a bunch of fishermen and kayakers and that kind of stuff that, you know, go past our window.
Yeah.
If somebody gets lost or stuck or that kind of thing, is that you? Is that
yeah? So all the waterways,
helicopter.
So all the waterways in within the county is us. So that's our jurisdiction. We'll go there. We'll rescue. We'll patrol those areas. So we have obviously so many different rivers and we have the shoreline. We have the bay. So it really does take, you know, two deputies to go out there and to patrol these areas, especially in the summertime too. We have so much traffic, you know, on the Klamath River, Trinity River.
Uses.
Yes. Yeah. And so it's essential, and then even in the bay. So.
Huh.
So yeah, but fishing.
Two folks can do that.
Two folks can do that. So and then also when we go out in the bay, we want to have two people there. And especially when it comes to rescue and
wanting to help out the other.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So it does. And then when you take into consideration, too, a river rescue on a jet boat, when someone's stuck on a rock in the middle of the river, it is essential that these boat operators know exactly how to operate these jet boats because they can overturn, cavitate a boat. They can do so many different things.
Do what?
Cavitate, that the engine will get flooded, essentially these jet boats.
You stall
and
out?
So stall out, oh, and, okay. And so going over some of these riffles and rapids, and so you have to know exactly what to do in these situations. So the only way you get that is through experience, to spend time on the river. And
so do you go after the guys running the jet boats on the rivers and see if they want to come across? Wear a badge.
Well, we can, but Yurok and also Hoopa tribe also has a lot of presence on the rivers, and they have great boat operators, and so they help us out.
Well,
we help
fishing,
them out.
Fishing game or fishing wildlife, whatever they're called these
and
days.
Fish and wildlife too. Yeah. Yes, for sure.
Oh, I think those would be kind of interesting jobs for, you know, somebody who was younger, and you know the physicality of it would be an attraction of being out on the rivers and
yes.
During the summertime?
It is absolutely gorgeous up there. And I take, you know, time every year to go up there to make sure that, you know, what we're doing is right on point, but also to take in the beautiful nature and the scenery.
Sacrificing
and,
the body again for the good of the cause, huh?
You know, someone's got to do it to make sure that we're doing our job right. So I make sure I get out there and at least once a year to get on the boat and make sure that the boat works and make sure our operators are professional and everything's good. It's a sacrifice.
Yeah, not the undersheriff. gotta send the head honcho. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are Easy Radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Hansel. So it seemed like the news this morning was kind of full of a couple of different things, huh? A couple of interesting arrests yesterday.
Yes.
Armaments and things along those lines.
That's right.
That kind of sounds like the stuff of movies.
Well, you know, the Drug Task Force is doing an outstanding job. And, you know, when we are following up on neighborhood complaints and turning those complaints over to our task force, and our special agents are in and out working undercover and checking things out, and when they see evidence of drug trafficking, they're going to follow up on it. And when there's evidence that supports a search warrant, they will author a search warrant, and a judge ordered the search of four residences based upon their surveillance. And they were able to act and make some arrests and get some guns and some drugs and take care of some neighborhood problems. And the people that live in these neighborhoods are ecstatic. They are thrilled that something is finally done with it, because who wants a drug house in their neighborhood, right?
Well, there's a prolonged timeline on this, from enough people saying something to actually bringing it to conclusion.
Right, because, you know, again, we can suspect all day long that someone is trafficking, but we have to have evidence to support a search warrant. And so it's sometimes
So what do you look for? remnants on the sidewalk.
Well, there's a lot of things we work for. I'm not gonna give everything away here. So the
not
drug
just
dealers,
the neighborhood comments, right. Saying, "Hey, there's a lot of action going on here."
So traffic coming in and out of a residence is definitely indicative of nefarious activity going on. And does that equate to a search warrant? So then we start following up on certain things. Let's just say that, you know, that we know of someone that goes to a residence and then comes away from a residence and they end up getting pulled over and found out they have drugs on them. And so that may be,
you kind of start narrowing the focus a little bit.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And then we start working our confidential informants too. And so there's confidential informants that we have that can operate in these areas, and they tell us certain things that we can verify, and then we can use those for search warrants. So
the weapons, though, I think were as disturbing.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't say that they were bombs, but it kind of indicated it was almost at that kind of level of significance. Is that something that puts it at a different level of seriousness when you guys are doing your stuff?
Well, it does, you know, especially when you talk about firearms and drug trafficking. When those two things are together, it's the exposure to possible prison sentences and also the federal government coming in and taking over and adopting.
Yeah, doesn't ATF step in?
Absolutely. So they want to adopt these kind of cases, and there's 5-year minimums for drug trafficking associated with firearms. You know, through the federal level, and up to 10 years. So it's like California's going the opposite way. They're like, hey, we're going to get you a slap on the wrist. And, you know, especially felon in possession of a firearm, it's still a misdemeanor. You know, it's not a big deal. It's not serious or violent. So they don't spend time in jail. They get probation. But yet, if there's someone who is a felon who possesses a firearm and sells a certain amount of drugs, which isn't a whole lot, or possesses a certain amount of drugs, you know, they can go away for up to 5 years in federal prison. And so
the feds are superseding the state.
Absolutely. And it was the opposite 15 years ago.
What's going on at the state? Is this all being driven by the population in prisons and not wanting to build additional prisons?
Is that simple? That is one thing. And the state is under a mandate from a 3-judge panel that says they have to reduce their state prison population. And instead of forecasting like the state should and say, you know, we need to keep up with our expanding population. California is growing by several hundred thousand every year. There's going to be crime. There's going to be more people that spend life sentences in jail. In prison, so we need to actually expand our prison system. It's not a popular thing, but we have, you know, 40 million people here in California. We have to also have prisons to hold people accountable. And so right now, with through realignment, you know, everyone that has the minor felony offenses now has to do county time. And so now they're filling up our county jails, and we can't, you know, house those people that need the accountability here in our own county jail. So it's just pushback.
Is it less incarcerated in state prisons, or is it a ratio, X number per cell, a density issue, if you will? So if they built more prisons, they could house more people rather than building more prisons, and then they have even less per prison.
Yeah, so the state sets mandates under Title 24, Title 15, dictates how we're supposed to treat prisoners. And Title 24 basically lays out how we are supposed to care for the inmate and the facilities that we're supposed to build and what the capacities are. So there's things in there that says, you know, if you have, you know, 1,000 square feet and it's an open dorm, you need these things. You need a rec room. You need a bathroom with this many stalls, and then you need this much open space. So that it's built to those specifications. We can only have 70 inmates in this area, and so there's no room to expand. We can put more bunks in because we feel like we can squeeze people in, but the state will not allow us to expand our capacity. And that's the same thing with state prisons. State prisons were overcrowded. So they were double and triple bunking. And so there was a lot of areas where they were, you know, some safety issues were for inmates and correctional staff were not being addressed. So the state had to reduce that population.
Any relief in sight? I mean, the state is saying that there's a surplus. We're seeing people leave for various reasons. I would think safety is one of those. Some of the folks hiding within the homeless populations are some of these bad apples. you would think that there would be something starting. Is the Department of Corrections doing anything towards new construction?
So they're not doing anything for new construction right now. So they're modifying prison sentences, and they're doing that to reduce their population and put pressure back on the county.
Push it down to Main Street. Yeah. It's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hunsell. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. What's the status of the jail? You know, we talked a little bit about at the state level, you know, some of their gamesmanship.
Well, yes.
Oh, pardon me.
And it
management
continues.
Style.
Right.
And, okay, so now it's impacting the locals. I know you... Number of years ago, the parking lot adjacent to the jail, that was all, I suppose it should have been done initially when that other building was constructed and just do it as one big project instead
right.
of two small ones,
right.
even though it might not have been manageable at that time.
Yeah. So, you know, 2015, we applied for a $20 million, essentially a grant from the state for, and it was a joint application with Department of Health and Human Services, Mental Health, County Probation, and the Sheriff's Office to build a day reporting center and a 44-bed step-down facility. And so that was authorized. It was approved in 2015 by the State Board of Community Corrections. And then planning has been occurring ever since. And as dealing with the state and these bonds and the complexities of this, it is very, very frustrating because things are moving at a snail's pace. I think even a snail moves faster. And so right now, the project, we have our plans. We have, it is with the State Public Works Board, but the Department of Finance through the state has to approve it. And so they have questions. And so we're answering those questions and trying to push this through. We believe that we have everything they need. But it's classic through the state. We answer all their questions, A through Z, and then at the 11th hour, they say, well, what about this? And they throw us another question. And then we have to wait another month before the State Public Works Board can see our project. And so it's just, it's very, very frustrating because, as we all know, in the last 5 years, a $20 million project is now a $25 million project. It just keeps going up. And then the county has to absorb those increases.
Is that part of the game?
I don't know what the game the state is playing. You know, I have no idea. They're not making it easy for us. They've given us this problem, and they're not making it easy for us to navigate it.
Are there other counties, Billy, that are trying to do similar projects? And
there are.
I mean, could it be, okay, here's a group of, and until everybody gets it together, we're not going to release one at a time. We're going to release all at one shot?
Well, there's a lot of projects that are going on around the state as far as jail expansion, building these projects through these bonds. There's several different bills that were passed. And Shasta County had a similar one. They were approved to build another $20 million facility before us, and they ended up turning it down because it was so difficult to navigate through the state. The county walked away from the money. And they said, okay, it's not worth it. And so I'm still into this because I believe in the concept of this. I believe that it's going to help our county. I believe, you know, working with probation and mental health, you know, and getting services to inmates while they're still in custody is going to help with that recidivism rate. And I believe in that. But, you know, again, the state is making it so difficult. And so we're trying to navigate that right now. We got some calls into the chairman of the Board of State Community Corrections, and our county staff's working with the Department of Finance. So we're hoping to put the pressure where it needs to be so we can get this project through.
Is it worth a field trip? Either bring them up here and let them look around and see the lack of this, what's going on, or you guys go and invade?
Right. Well, it really isn't, because these people don't, I really don't think that they care in with our project. I really don't. When it comes down to these bean counters, the ones that are making these decisions in Sacramento, I don't believe they truly care. They're just sitting there, and there's waiting and waiting and waiting. And I don't know if they're trying to wait us out, but it really doesn't seem like they're there to help. So I think we're giving them this month to get their stuff together. If they don't, then we'll be contacting our state senator, assemblyman, and the governor's office to see what we can do to try and motivate this project from springboarding. So, you know, we shouldn't. Again, we're a small county. We don't have the resources of a large county, and we can't absorb $5 million in this.
I'm thinking the manpower also.
Right. Just to, absolutely.
Yeah,
so I have to hire a project manager, I have to hire these people, and I have to spend time and effort to do this. Large counties, they can put a full-time team on this, and they can check in and do stuff every day. And so some of their projects get done quicker, but, you know, they have to be willing to help us out here so we can get this project for our county done.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:40.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time's 8:44. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Hansel. Measure Z. We're starting to hear a little bit of discussion around the next round of awarding of money.
Yes.
I don't know the proper terminology. How's that going? Is it changed a little bit over the last year or so?
Well, I mean, a little bit. So this time of year, the county looks at budgeting for this next year. So 2021 budget is, starts July 1st. And so now we start looking at, the different, budgets, and Measure Z is one of them. And so all the county departments that have Measure Z funding will continue to get that Measure Z funding. And the revenues are still coming in. I think they equate to about $11 million a year is what they're estimating. And so now we have, 4 to $5 million to hand out, again, to other county agencies, to municipalities, to fire service, to roads, and to all those things that the Measure Z was intended to go to.
Is that because there's a chunk that's already pre-designated?
So the county has pre-designated funds for county county positions. So the sheriff's office, DA's office, probation, and maybe even mental health. So all have funding right now, and so that's ongoing funding, and so that's not up to the approval of the Citizen Advisory Committee.
So that's already carved off before?
Yes.
Okay.
So anything extra beyond what we've budgeted for that and what has already been approved by the board now gets to be, divvied up to some of these. So now the Citizen Advisory Committee, we're taking applications. And right now the applications are available. You can download the application. Anyone can apply for it as long as it adheres to the intent of Measure Z. So the Measure Z language is there, and it's a 3-page application. People are able to apply for this funds. But there are so many needy organizations. There's so many needy municipalities and fire service and roads. The money just isn't there to supply everyone with something. So
you say Citizens Advisory Committee.
Yes.
Are they citizens that are on the committee, or is it like politicians and appointees and things of that nature that aren't Bob Smith down the road or Jane Jones around the corner?
Well, there is one politician on the committee, and that's me. So I'm on the committee, but besides me.
Now, was I designated because
yes,
because with the original language?
It wasn't. It was just the original. I mean, Sheriff Mike Downey was on the committee, and so when he, I think when they formed this, they thought we need to have a law enforcement, a sheriff or law enforcement representative there to speak to the law enforcement. And they also designated a fire person, so someone from the Fire Chiefs Association, so to make sure that fire was represented from Measure Z. And then we have all the districts can support one person there. So we have five people that represent the different supervisory districts, and we have some at-large positions. So I think there's total 12 people. I think there's two alternates that are sitting there, and they're reviewing the applications. So they're going to review the application to see if they meet the intent of the Measure Z. If they do, then they go on to the next round. And then they prioritize. We will prioritize what these applications are. Are they you know, one, two, or three, top priority. And then we are going to recommend the top, you know, applications to the board. And the board can do whatever they want with them. They can get the list and they can fund, you know, something that we prioritize as three. And
has that happened?
It has happened. They've actually funded things that we recommended to not receive. And late applications we didn't even look at. And in the past, they have reviewed those and have funded those. So, again, we're just a citizen advisory committee. The board is responsible for divvying out these funds. That's their responsibility. But, you know, I really think that, number one, the board needs to fund public safety, public safety programs in the municipalities as well, fire and roads. Those are the intent of it, and that's what the people voted it for.
Well, I can remember the battle early on. I think Mark Lovelace was arguing, or maybe he was representing an argument of sidewalks.
Yeah. See,
okay, you know, you could make that argument.
Public safety, right.
You could kind of sort of get there, but versus something a little bit more direct, that's kind of tough to do.
Right. So if this was a non-competitive thing where if you put in an application and there was an intent there that for public safety and we had unlimited funds, sure, fund sidewalks. That's great, you know, safe schools. But there's other ways of funding those sidewalks. There's other ways of funding drug treatment. There's other ways of funding, you know, some of the other things that are worthy programs. But is Measure Z the best avenue for it? And so I just really think that, you know, the board needs to kind of refine this to make sure that the Measure Z money really goes to what the voters intended it for: public safety, fire, roads, ambulance service.
Yeah, I think if it went other places, there could be other issues that would have to be dealt with.
Yes, for sure.
By the supervisors.
Yeah, I think so too.
And the community, yeah.
Yeah.
So the fact that Mike is now wearing FPD.
Yeah.
A little weird?
Chief Downey, absolutely. We talked the other day. He's doing great. He's doing awesome things for Fortuna, and he's a great leader, so I'm happy that he's there.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
All right, we'll see you, Brian.
See you everybody tomorrow.